Of course, we've been talking about the unchanging core truths of Christianity. And, you know, this stuff that we've been dealing with is, it's nothing complicated, but it is absolutely foundational. And if we don't have these foundational understandings about the God we serve, we don't really know Him. So that's why I felt it was important. Let's take the time to go through this and let's deal with each one of these things, you know, separately and just try to dig a little truth out of them. And then, you know, I kind of got the idea of meeting together in the groups afterwards and talking about it for really from our ISOM classes that we were doing. And I just, there's something about it when you have the opportunity to actually sit and discuss it and talk about what a difference it makes. It kind of sticks with you a little better. So again, we've been talking about the unchanging core truths of Christianity, talking about the attributes of God the Father. And we started all this beforehand talking about how to rightly divide the word of truth, how to properly interpret the Bible, so on and so forth. And then we started getting into these. So we're going to run very quickly through these all the way from number one. I figure if we go back and review it every time, you're going to remember it, right? So number one, God is omniscient. And that means He is what? All-knowing. He is the original and only know-it-all. God is omnipotent. That means, that's number two, God is omnipotent. That means He is all-powerful. There's absolutely nothing that our God can't do. What really stands out to me, and I heard someone say this years ago, it just really stuck with me, but we kind of have this idea that somehow some things are easy for God and then some things are a little more difficult. Like, we don't have a problem believing God can take care of that headache. But cancer, you know, stage four cancer or some other thing like that, our own mind kind of wants us to personify God in a way that, well, that's more difficult. Well, it's just as easy for God to heal cancer as it is to heal a headache or anything else. So He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Then number three, God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. That means He is everywhere at once. There's nowhere you can go where God is not. That's why some of y'all are sitting in church today, because even though you were running from Him, you ran right into Him. Number four, God is all wise. I like to say all wisdom comes from Him. We don't want worldly wisdom. We want godly wisdom. So not only is He a know-it-all, but what else is He? He's a wise guy. That's right. And He's the only one that can really make that claim. Number five, God is good. He is good. All goodness comes from Him. People have no idea what good is if they don't know who God is, right? We have our idea of what's good, but some people think what is good is actually evil, and what is evil is actually good. Some people think butchering a baby in a mother's womb is good. You know, we're just trying to help you out. No, you're not. You're trying to murder a baby. Right? That's not good. There's nothing good about that. So God is good. Man's standard of good is twisted, but God is good, always good. Number six, God is also love. He is love. He is the source of love. There is no such thing as love if God's not involved, even in relationships with people. If God is not involved, that husband or that wife or that boyfriend or that girlfriend or whoever that is, they really don't know what love is, because love cannot even exist without God. So God is love. Then God is, number seven, God is merciful. And I always say, when I say that, thank God He's merciful, right? Thank God. Mercy, His mercy means He doesn't give us what we really deserve. But then it goes beyond that. Thank God He doesn't give us what we really deserve, but He's also, number eight, gracious. That means not only does He not give us what we deserve, but He does give us what He deserves. He's gracious. And so then, number nine, God is faithful. I've seen that demonstrated in my life over and over and over again. God is faithful. And thank God He is faithful. That means He's absolutely consistent. There's no wavering in Him. You don't have to wonder, you know, what side of the bed did He wake up on this morning, right? First of all, He don't sleep, but you know, you never have to wonder, you know, what mood is He going to be in? Is He going to be in an angry mood or is He going to be in a loving mood? What? No, He's absolutely consistent. He's faithful. Number 10, He is just. That means that He will always do the right thing. By the way, the word just and righteousness really means the same thing. Just and righteous has the same meaning. So God could not be righteous if he was not just. Justice is of God, from God. That's why Jesus had to take the penalty of our sin, because justice had to be satisfied. And then we said that those that reject what Jesus did for us, they will experience his justice. And there will be no mercy on that day. Mercy is now. Grace is now. But on that day, there will be none. This is why the Bible says, judge yourself now, right? Judge yourself. Let the Lord, ask the Lord on a regular basis, search me. Search me. Show me. If there's anything there not pleasing to you, I want to know about it. I want to repent. So then we talked about the fact that God is self-sufficient, that God is not in need of anything or anybody. He's not lonely. He never has been lonely. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us. He gives us the opportunity to take part in what he's doing or what he wants to do on the earth. He lets us take a part in that so that we can reap rewards. We're not doing it for him. He's allowing us to do it so that we can actually reap the rewards. So it's like someone in a company, you know, who, let's say, I don't know, Elon Musk, who's, you know, if he's not the richest man in the world, he's one of them for sure. He's one or two. But that'd be like Elon Musk saying, you know what? You hadn't done anything to earn it, but I'm going to give you shares in my company. I'm going to let you be a part of it, right? Obviously, I know nothing about Elon Musk's companies and the things that he does, so on and so forth. Just like I don't know anything about creating a universe and doing the things that God can do. But he says, I'm going to let you be a part. So if you just do what I tell you to do, and you get to take part in the shares. And so he's self-sufficient. He doesn't need us, but we desperately need him. Number 12, God is holy. He is holy. This word holy is also very closely tied to the word just. It's very closely tied to that. That he's absolutely, completely, totally right. He's absolutely clean. He's absolutely holy. And so because of his holiness, he has also called us to be holy. And he allows us to become holy, not through just trying to keep a bunch of rules, but by hiding ourselves in Christ and letting Christ live his life through us. And that's where holiness is demonstrated. And then we said, number 13, and this was we dealt with last week and spent quite a bit of time on, that God is creator of everything that exists. And I'm amazed, you know, I like to watch programs about, you know, like when they're sending these cameras and telescopes and so on and so forth, outer space. I'm really intrigued by that. I love the pictures and the beauty of it, just outer space. The idea that, I mean, not only are there billions of stars, but there's billions and billions of galaxies full of billions and billions of stars. And the Bible says God holds all that within the palm of his hand. I mean, that's amazing to me. And so he's the creator of everything, and people are just now discovering a lot of what he has created and will continue to discover until the day he wraps this thing up. God is a creator of everything. There's absolutely nothing that he can't fathom, nothing he can't do. He knows everything about everything. He knows everything about my body. I said the last time on this that this is why I don't have a problem believing for God to heal something that even a doctor can't figure out, because a doctor doesn't know, but God knows. He knows exactly what it is. And I believe he can tell a doctor if the doctor will seek that out. Now we finally get to number 14. And again, all of these attributes of God, every one of them tie together, right? They're not separate. They all tie in together. But number 14 is that God is infinite and eternal. He's infinite and eternal. He has always been, and he will ever be God. He will never cease to be God. Years ago, there was this theory and this idea going around. They called it a God is dead theory. I want to say it was a man named Hegel that began to make that a popular theory, and they began to teach it in the universities and all that kinds of stuff. By the way, the universities are the most corrupt institutions on the planet, just so you know. They are absolutely, totally anti-God. The universities are the ones, honestly, that have gotten our country into the situation that it's in. because our children for generations have gone to those places to be brainwashed and have their faith robbed from them. So God is infinite and eternal. He has always been, and he will ever be God. People are so arrogant that somehow their arguments, the atheist arguments, are things like, well, you know, where did God come from? Well, we'll talk about that here in just a minute, but they love to talk about that. And it's like, well, you know, honestly, when you look at evolution, when you look at what they believe about evolution, like I said the other day, I don't have enough faith to believe that. I don't have enough faith to believe in the evolutionary process, that everything somehow came into being without an intelligent designer who is eternal, infinite. So Psalm chapter 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Those are words that we use just to try to somehow figure it out. From everlasting to everlasting. How many of you know it's like an arrow pointing both directions and it never stops? It's like the number line. You know, the number line, you have zero, and then we typically focus on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and that goes up. You know, you can never get to a last number. Never. But neither can you get to a last number going the other way. From negative numbers, from zero backwards. You can never get to a last number. That kind of helps me understand a little bit how God is infinite and eternal. Genesis chapter 21, verse 33, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. They even understood that God, you know, way back, they understood that God was everlasting, that he was infinite, that he was eternal. Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the Lord who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Why? Because no temple could possibly hold him. Now, there is a place that is called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's not just you or me as individuals, but that's the church corporately. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But even then, that's really, you know, just, you know, because God is everywhere, he's infinite, he cannot be contained even in us completely. So the Holy Spirit lives in us, but still, that's not the fullness in the sense of geographically where God is. But he allows his presence to be known in us. He is self-existing. He's without origin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I love that scripture. Years ago, a preacher by the name of Louis Giglio had put out a teaching about this, and he began to do a little research and found out that there is a, I don't know if you'd call it a compound, or I don't even know what the correct word is, but it's called laminin. And what it is, laminin in the body is called the glue of the body. It's what holds everything together. Laminin holds all your cells and everything together. Without it, we would not be together, right? The discovery, when you look at it under a microscope, it is shaped like a cross. And it's very interesting that this scripture, and he uses scripture, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. Psalm chapter 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The fact that God is self-existent, that he was created by nothing and has always existed forever, is for a lot of people, it's one of the hardest things for them to understand. Well, why is that? Because it's beyond our own limitations. You know, we live in a finite world. We have a finite brain. I mean, there are some people who can kind of get out there in their understanding or in their imagination, but even that's limited. That's why the scripture says that he can do more than we could ask, think, or imagine, right? Because he's even outside of the greatest imagination we could possibly have. He's outside of that. He's not limited in any way like that. So because of our own limitations, we can't understand it. Now, I gave my pens away, so I can't do my little illustration that I would do. But I will tell you this. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll draw a square on a piece of paper, and then I'll put four dots in that piece of paper. Two of them will be wide apart. Two will be a little closer. But they're placed in such a way to where when I say I need you to connect both of these lines, but they cannot crisscross, but you can connect all four dots using two lines and you cannot crisscross them. And people will stare at that and look at that and they'll try and they'll say, but you can't do it. It's impossible. And the reason is the only way to connect those lines is that because they're coming down at a slant, the only way to actually connect them without crisscrossing them is you have to go outside of the square. And people see that square and they don't go outside of it. And that's how we are. That's how we think. God's outside the square. We live inside the square. We don't see how things can connect, but God does because he's outside the square. He's not limited. So A.W. Tozer writes this about the confusing and really head-spinning attribute of God's infinity. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, to admit that there is one who lies beyond us, who exists outside of all our categories, who will not be dismissed with a name, who will not appear before the bar of our reason, nor submit to our curious inquiries, this requires a great deal of humility, more than most of us possess. So we save face by thinking God down to our level and at least down to where we can manage him. I hope you understand what he's saying there. He's using some flowery language, but what he's saying is we're always trying to personify God. We're always trying to make God in our image, right? We're always trying to give God our limitations. That's why we don't use our faith, because where our faith needs to go is outside of our own reasoning. This is why you have to ignore your brain when it comes to those things. This is why I've said often, you know, if God gives me a specific word of knowledge about a specific thing that needs to be healed in someone's body. And it doesn't happen all the time, but that has happened a lot. And immediately my brain goes to work against it. Or God will speak something and say, I need you to do this or I need you to say this. And immediately my brain goes against it, especially if it's an impossibility. And my brain begins to say, that can't happen. That will not happen. That can't happen. You're going to look like a fool. Oh, they're going to know you a fake now, right? All this stuff goes on, and you have to choose to ignore it and tune in to what is the Spirit saying. And then when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will see the supernatural and miraculous happen. I've seen it hundreds of times. And so it's very important for us to understand that God is infinite and eternal. And if he's infinite and eternal, then my desire should be, God, I want to reach out there to where you are. Because if it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, I don't have to be limited to this box. I can reach out there in the place that I don't even understand. I can't even comprehend that place of no limits. I can reach there. And of course, it's got to be through the will of God and through Christ, not through my own understanding, not through my own gifts and abilities. This is where so many go wrong. I believe this is why so many churches are dead. They have thousands of people, but they're dead because the whole thing is based on entertaining people, giving people what they want, making people feel good. And I'm going to tell you, there's no power in that. There's no life in that. There's no spirit in that. I don't want to live in that. I don't want to be limited to what I can do and what my talents and abilities are, because those are tiny. Man, I want to be out there where God is. I'm not trying to be God, but I don't want to be limited by my mere natural instincts and beings and talents and abilities. I want to believe God for the absolute impossible and see those things manifest before us. This is what happened to every person in this room that's been healed, been touched by God. For some of you, you know, he shared his testimony before, but you know, the man was sitting there with a gun in his mouth and God intervened. And look at what God has done in his life, right? Because he's a God of impossibilities. He had a grandmother who believed that. So I want to read a quote to you from S.M. Lockridge. I really tried to get a video and I couldn't make it work because I can't say it like he says it. But he talked about one day about where did God come from. So I'm going to read his quote. S.M. Lockridge said, "Where did God come from? Well, he came from nowhere. The reason God came from nowhere is that there was nowhere for him to come from. Coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. The reason he had to stand on nothing is there was nowhere for him to stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere to reach and caught something where there was nothing to catch and hung something on nothing, and he told it to stay there. Now standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will, he struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and sparks flew from there. He caught them on his tips of his fingers, flung them out into space, and bedecked the heaven with stars. But no one said a word. The reason no one said a word is that there was nobody there to say anything. So God himself said, "That is good." And God has given Christ a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The heavens are his and the earth beneath. All things answer to his authority. The wind hears his voice and obeys. The tides respond to his command. The moon and the stars rise and fall according to his voice and his timetable. I love that. I love that. Anyway, I've been enjoying this. I hope you guys have too. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again to be here, Lord, to seek you out, to know about you. And Lord, we want to get beyond just knowing about you, though. We want to know you. Lord, we want to live in that place outside of the box. We want to live in that place with you, outside of the natural limitations of this world. And Father, I thank you that you've enabled us to do that. Lord, I thank you that we get to know you. What a privilege, what an honor to know you. Lord, we never want to take that for granted. God, we're so thankful that you opened up your world to us. And so, Lord, I just pray, help us this week to use this knowledge, make this revelation to us on a level that we've never known before. And God, use this in our lives this week to make an eternal impact on someone else's life. And Father, we thank you for that. I pray, be with each one as they go, Lord. Send your angels before them everywhere they go. And Lord, I pray that you direct each one by your Spirit all the rest of this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.